If y'all recall, I hope you still have some of the things I said last time we were here together. I tried to preach out of Romans 1, and I ended up going about everywhere but there. And there is still some things on my heart and my mind this morning that I'm going to try to stay focused this morning on the particular that I want to talk about. But I want to go back again to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read one sentence. It's only one sentence. From verse 1 through verse 7. That's how you have to go that far to get a period. So we're going to read down to the period in verse 7. Paul and a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the reading of one sentence, the first sentence. You know, the Apostle Paul, he likes long sentences. And back when I was going to school, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we did diagramming. I don't think they ever do that anymore. But that's how we learned clauses and parts of speech. We learned prepositions and nouns and verbs and all these different things. And they're very important on how we interpret and read, especially the Word of God. So, I want to go back, and notice it says the Apostle Paul said he was separated unto the gospel of God. He was called out from persecuting the church and doing those things he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was one that was a brought up under the tutelage or the teachings of the great Gamaliel, knew multiple languages, was probably one of the greatest lawyers that ever was. And the Roman letter is one of the greatest legal briefs that you'll find anywhere written. And so when we look at this from this standpoint, the Apostle Paul is setting forth the very heart of what we as the Church of Jesus Christ believe. Just in this one long sentence, these things. First of all, I want you to notice the gospel of Jesus Christ. It must be according to the Scriptures. It says, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He's saying that the things that I'm teaching you, the things that I'm preaching unto you, the things that I want you to know are according to that which was written in the Old Testament. We cannot emphasize it more that everything that Jesus did when he came to earth was a fulfillment or a fulfillment of some prophecy. Even to the very last time his last breath was breathed out in a fulfillment of a scripture. When Jesus was very last moments of his life, he said, I thirst that the scripture might be fulfilled. And you go over into Psalm 69 and maybe other places, but particularly there, you'll find those very words that was written. So when we look at this from the standpoint of the gospel, the Apostle Paul says these are the fulfillment of those things. Now, I want this morning to center in upon the two verses, verse 3 and verse 4, which sets forth the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came into the world, during the time of his earthly ministry, by the way, there is a, I don't know how in the world they could ever know this, but there is a movie out now that tells about the years of Jesus from 12 years up to his 33 years. You know, I'm simply going to say that they're speculating, because there is nothing in the scriptures that tells anything about the life of Jesus from 12 years old to 30 years old. There's a large gap in there. And if the Lord would wanted us to know that, Brother Keith, they'd put it in a book. But it says when he went back, when he was 12 years old, he was with his parents, and they'd gone to Jerusalem for business, do some business. And as they were journeying back home, they had gone 3 days, and they found out that Jesus was not with them. And so they go back, and they journey 3 days back again, and they're looking for Jesus. And they finally find him in the temple, in the Jewish temple, the synagogue, and he's sitting there. I can imagine this. I can see this in my mind. A little 12-year-old boy sitting in the midst of these great scholars, these great men of learning, and lawyers and the Pharisees and all these people sitting there in the midst of this, talking to them about the Bible, the scriptures. And it says they found him, and he was asking questions and answering questions. And Mary went in, and it says, "Do you not understand that you?" I mean, I could imagine this. My sister one time lost my nephew for only about an hour, and she was absolutely just frantic. I mean, she was she's like don't never get between a mother bear and her cub. You see, that's kind of the way mothers are. They protect their young. And we as human beings, we're not any different than that. But Mary was frantic, and she says, "Do you not understand?" And I can see her pointing her finger at him. "Do you not understand that you've just about worried us to death? We have looked all over the place for you, your father and I, your dad and I." You know who he's talking about, don't you? You know about Joseph. And then Jesus says, I mean, just simply to her, "Do you not understand that I must be up and about my father's business?" At 12 years old. And when he said my father's business, he didn't mean Joseph's business in the carpenter shop. He was talking about the very reason he was sent. But he came made of a woman. This is important that we understand. If you don't understand the two natures of Jesus Christ, you're not going to understand. There is multitudes and multitudes of scripture that deal with his humanity as well as his deity. And Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, these are the points that I want us to take, and I hope I don't get into a big hurry on this, because I want to read these two verses again for you, because this is where I want to focus. "Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David." David. Listen. "According to the flesh." Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of these will verify that Jesus was made from the seed of David. But I want specifically, just very quickly, to read the first couple of verses of the Gospel according to Matthew. It says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ," listen to me very carefully, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David." This is what this is about. This is about the son of David. And it says the son of Abraham. And we go, and the genealogy here starts with Abraham and goes, we don't need to go any further back than Abraham for a Jew. See? But he starts with Abraham, and he goes all the way back, and in the 16th verse, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, I want you to, it's important that you see what these words mean. Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but the word Jesus is his name. That's what he was named. Who gave him his name? His father gave him his name. Not Joseph gave him his name. When the angel spoke to Joseph, he spoke to Joseph, who was his stepfather. He said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, we just heard a great sermon back, I called it a great sermon, on Brother Gary Harvey, and he preached on the blessings of gender. It's on our website. I encourage you to go read it. Listen to it. But the point that he made, one of the great points he made was, what is man? Who is man? We would talk about a male. There is a male and there is a female. A male, and he read out of the Oxford Dictionary, which was written, the old Oxford Dictionary, which was written prior to 1611. So when we read this, we know that the definition that was given in the Oxford Dictionary is the proper definition for the 1611 Bible. And the simple definition for the word male is one who begets children. One who brings forth children. What you see people say, well, what in the world? I don't understand the importance of all this beget, 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 beget. Beget, so-and-so beget, and it's all of it. It's just so boring. You think God put those things in there to take up space? You understand that when he says beget, we're talking about you can't beget children, Joe, and you can't beget children. None of you female ladies here can beget children. You don't beget children. Men beget children. And that's why it's important when he looks at the word female. The word female, according to the English dictionary, the Oxford Dictionary, is a human being who bears children. Women bear children. Men beget children. And that's important. And that's all I'm going to say that. But it says Abraham begat Isaac. That means Isaac came out of his loins. Everything about him, he was the seed. And it's important that when you look at this, according to the seed. That's the point I want you to get, brother. Jesus was of the seed of David. You say, well, I don't understand how that can be. How can he be the Son of God and the Son of David at the same time? You see, the scripture says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. Now, you tell me how God can become human. Now, if Joseph was indeed the father of Jesus, we don't find where Joseph begat Jesus. You see, Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Who was his father? Who begets children? Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. You say, well, how does this stuff all fit together? You see, it says here concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. You know, this is a great mystery. How can this be? Well, the only way it can be is the way that it happened. You understand me? And when they came into, when the wise men came from afar over here, they were called Magi, or the ones that came from Persia. They came and they said, we come to visit the one that was born king. Jesus did not become king. He wasn't anointed by some priest, but he was anointed by God. He was born king. He didn't become king. And when we look at this from the standpoint of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we have the genealogy in Matthew, which brings us from Abraham all the way down to Joseph. And I want you to understand the point I'm making it. I don't want to belabor this too much, but I want you to understand that this is a fundamental principle of what we believe about Jesus. Okay? Jacob beget Joseph. That means Joseph came out of Jacob's, the Jacob here. Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. All right. We have several questions. You know, one of the best ways to teach is by questioning. There's something to have what is called the catechism. You know, that simply is learning by questioning. If I ask you a question, and sometimes it may be hypothetical, but I want you to think about the question. Now, I want to read two different questions concerning Jesus, concerning this very thing. In Matthew chapter 22, I'll begin with verse 41. If you want to turn there, you may. Matthew chapter 22, it says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them." Now, who is the Pharisees? Think about this for a minute. Who are the Pharisees? These are the ones who are, first of all, they're Jews. And next, they are the leaders of the Jewish people. They are lawyers. They are scribes. They are these people that are learned in the law. They know the law. They know what it says. But they don't understand it. Listen to me. You think they understood what Jesus was asking? Now notice, I want you to get the question. The Pharisees asked Jesus. Now this is these people asking Jesus the question, okay? Jesus asking them the question. "What think ye of Christ?" That's the question. Now, I could ask you the same question this morning. What do you think of Christ? It's a separate question, by the way. There's two question marks in this. What do you think of Christ? You got that one? You got the answer to that one? Okay, now he's asking for you. If I ask you, what do you think of something? Brother Keith, what do you think about this? I'm asking you to give me your thoughts and your opinions on this. What do you think? The next question is, whose son is he? Okay, the question is, what do you think of Christ and whose son is he? Now, what's their answer? You say, notice it says, "They say unto him, the son of David." Okay, did you understand me, brothers and sisters? They were half right. That if Jesus is not, I mean, we just read over there in Matthew, I mean, in the book of Romans here concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David. If he's not the seed of David, he can't be the Messiah. That's the point. Okay? He cannot be the Messiah. The Messiah did not come out of the tribe of Benjamin or one of the other tribes or one of the sons of Joseph. He couldn't have come out of any. He couldn't have come out of any of those other sons. Why? Because the promise said, "He shall come out of David." Now, what tribe is David? Do your research. We can go back to the genealogy in Matthew, and it will tell us that David was of the tribe of Judah. He came out of Judah. And in the prophecy over in Genesis, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from who? Judah."
The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh comes. In other words, if we have one here that says, I came out of a, now I'm, you come along and say, I'm the Christ. I am the one that is to come. You see, this is what John the Baptist really wanted to know. He had baptized him, and he actually heard the voice of God proclaiming to him that this is my beloved son. Yet when he's in prison, he goes back and he says, go over there and ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Now, there's evidences, physical evidences, that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. But Jesus didn't send word back and say, yes, go back over there and tell John that I'm him. He said, you go back and show John again these things. The blind see, the deaf hear, the sick are healed, and all these, and the dead are raised, and the poor, this is important, so wonderful, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Were these people poor? Well, they needed to be poor in spirit. Now, when you talk about poor, we're not talking about poor in natural things. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, according to Matthew. All right. So what's the importance of this thing? Why is he making such a big deal out of this? Okay, Jesus says, okay, he's the son of David. Okay, now he quotes from Psalms 110. Remember what our text said, that he must be according to the scripture. He cannot be the Messiah if he's not out of the tribe of Judah, if he is not out of the Messiah, comes out of David. Why is that important? Now, this is Jesus reasoning with them, okay? He says, okay, seed of David, son of David. Okay, well, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Here is David that says, unto my Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Psalms 110, verse 1. And he quotes it right here. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Okay? Now, he's the son of David. Now, then how was it that David called him Lord? If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Jesus, come on now, tell me if he's just the son of David, then tell me why did David call him Lord? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. No more questions for this Jesus. He'll trick you. Well, he just simply wanted them to think. Now, this is the point that I want you to see this morning. If Jesus was only the son of David, then he came out of, we just read, and we can go over to Luke 3, and we can read to you that, and by the way, the genealogies in Matthew, the one in Matthew is the legal line. It's the legal line. And the one in Luke, it starts with Jesus and goes all, it goes backwards, see? It starts with Jesus and goes all the way back to, it didn't stop at Abraham, but it stopped at Adam. Why is that important? Because Luke was a Gentile. And he wants, how am I going to get me in this? Well, I'm going to go all the way back to Adam, and it says Adam was the son of God. But my point here is, I have two sons. And if one son had these children and these children had this one, I could come over here and I'd say, according to the lineage, this lineage, and according to this lineage, both of them are the sons of David. But in Matthew, it comes out of Solomon. And so I don't want to get bogged down in this because it's a lot of details. But you look at in Matthew, the genealogy comes out of Solomon. In Luke, though, still the son of David, but it comes out of Nathan. What's the important of that? I want you to see that now Mary, Jesus was the son of Mary. Where'd he get his blood? Where did he get his blood? What was it? Divine blood? Was it? It was sinless blood. I can guarantee you that. But it was human blood. It says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins." Now, so I want you to understand the importance of this point, and it is if Jesus was only the son of David, he was a sinner just like you and I, just like Mary confessed her sins. Said to God and thanking Him for being His Savior. So when we look at this from that standpoint, it's very difficult to understand. Now then, I want to go back again. I don't know how far we'll get with this, but I want to go back to the Scripture, to the Old Testament. These scriptures are usually quoted during the Christmas time. Can we just talk about this only one time a year? You see, this is the essence, this is the core of the gospel. Okay? He said, now I'm in Isaiah chapter 7. He said, "Hear ye now." I want you to listen to who he's talking to. "Hear ye now, O house of David." Why they keep pointing out David? That's discriminating. "Hear ye now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to worry men, but will you worry God also? Therefore," I'm in Isaiah 7, 14, "therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Now then, this is another, it blows the minds of some people, but I want to tell you something, dear brothers and sisters. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, not only was he conceived in the womb of a virgin, he was born of a virgin. This is as contrary to nature as you'll ever find. I just told you women don't beget. How did he get there? And we don't have to doubt this. He said, "Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her," notice the preposition OF, "that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." My children come out of me. My wife bore them. How can a... And this really bothered Mary. You see, she said, "That holy thing that shall come forth from thee shall be called the Son of God." She said, "How can this be? How can these things be? I have not known a man." Now, I'll tell you one thing. Mary knew she was a virgin. Now, Joseph had his doubts because she came back with child from visiting up Elizabeth. She came back from Elizabeth's place. And she was very evident with child. Joseph didn't know what had happened. So he was minded to put him away put her away privately. You know, according to the law, if a woman becomes with child without being married, what's the penalty? Stoning. He could have publicly announced her. See her like this? You see that? She's been over there with Elizabeth, and she's been with some other man, because men beget children. You know, this is another point that was made, and I'm just give you this for free. How can these people that love the same sex have children? If we all thought of that, if we all followed that lifestyle, the human race would become extinct within a couple of generations. Because you got to have a man and a woman to have a baby. I mean, that's just simple. That is so fundamental. But Mary says, how can this be? I haven't known a man. Well, the Spirit told Joseph, don't worry about this. I've got this. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is her Father. Now I want you to notice it says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. That very, is word for word found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And it tells us there, though, it doesn't tell us there what Emmanuel means, but in Matthew 1 and 23, it tells us the interpretation of Emmanuel. It means God with us. God with us. Now then, remember, we're talking about the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. Now then, we go over to another Christmas text, quote unquote. For unto us a child is born. I want you to think about the pronoun. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Is there any difference? Well, he was a son, he was born. But see, we as God's people, Jesus is a gift. He is a gift from God to us. Unto us a child is born. He was a human being. Listen to me. He got hungry. He thirsted. He got tired. He got angry. And maybe that's not so much a characteristic of humanity, but he was strengthened by the angels. Now I ask you a question. How can an angel strengthen their creator? He was as much a human being from the standpoint it says that he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was made like unto his brethren. He was made like unto us, that he could bear in his body. I mean, if he'd been made as an angel, what then? He couldn't redeem us because we were not angels. We're not angels. Angels didn't sin, and therefore he came, brothers and sisters, for the sole purpose. What did he come to do? He came to bear their sins. And if he was just a natural human being, he could not have been the Savior. But if he was just human, he still couldn't be our Savior. See, it says, unto us a son is given. Unto us a son is given. Here is the humanity and the deity set forth in one verse. Unto us a child is born. Yes, it was a human-born baby. She carried that child for 9 months, just like normal. But the Father, that's the point. Who was the Father? Now, there's a lot of people in the world today that deny everything that I've told you this morning. Even some so-called Christians don't believe in the virgin birth. They believe that Jesus was just an apparition. He was just he came kind of like a human. He came looking like a human. He did all the things of a human, but he really wasn't a human. This is why that some particular people get so angry to think that God could have a son. That is a blasphemy to some people to say that God had a son.
Well, then he wouldn't be perfect.
He wouldn't have been the Son of God, that's for sure, brother. He would have been the humanity. Jesus didn't come as an apparition. I don't even know if I'm using the right word, Brother Keith, but he didn't come as a figment. He didn't come as a spirit. He didn't come, he came as a human being. Now, why is that important to us? Now, we go back over. Now, I said I wanted to ask you two different questions. Now, remember, he asked the Pharisees this question, the question I was talking about. Now listen, how he asked his disciples about his humanity. Okay? They said, what think you of Christ? Well, I don't know if they ever told what they thought of Christ, but Christ means the anointed. When we look at the words, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is his name. He was given the name Jesus by his Father. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus means deliverer or savior. He cannot be a savior if he doesn't save. isn't that simple? But he said, now the question here is, Jesus said, I came down from heaven. They didn't like that statement. I came down from heaven. You make yourself the Son of God. And they said, you say you're the Son of God. You came down from heaven. He said, yes, I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father. I came to do the will of my Father. And this is my Father's will, which sent me. You see, he was not only born, he came because he was sent from his Father. He said, I came down from heaven not to do the will of him that sent me, but my Father's will. I did do the will of my Father. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that of all that he gives me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. Now, who did he come to save? That's the question. What do you think of Christ? Who did he save? He came to save his people. That's what Matthew 1:21 says. The old Baptists love it. But it says, thou shalt call his name Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to die. That's why he told the Greeks over there, he said, oh, what shall I say? Save me from this hour, for this cause came I into this world. I came to die. Now then, in Matthew 16, another question. If I can find it. Now notice, Jesus again. Now this time though, he's not talking to the Pharisees. Matthew 16, I'm going to start with verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. You see, he asked different ways. He asked different questions to those Pharisees than he did his. But the answer is what I want you to see. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, there's different views. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of these other prophets. You see, human opinion was wrong in all counts. Which one of these is he? Now, you see, when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Isaiah 53, he didn't understand one. He didn't read. He goes along there, and God sent a man to tell him of what it meant. He says he was reading Isaiah 53, And it says, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some men guide me? Is this here talking about, is this Isaiah talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? What was the scripture he was reading? He was reading Isaiah 53. It says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was, and the God the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He opened his mouth and didn't say, I mean, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he opened his mouth and he didn't say a word against his executioners. But you see, the man started, I mean, Philip started, he didn't go back over there like some of us do. But it said he started right there at that point and preached to him Jesus. So when we're looking at this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? How is it that we are so blessed? How is it, brothers and sisters? This is a question. What do you think about Christ? Your opinion, if you have an opinion, but if it's not according to thus saith the Lord, that's all it is. No, I don't care what you think about it. What does the Bible say? That's simple. I don't really care what your opinion is. I got one. I want to know what the scriptures say. Now, this is what they said. And Jesus says, well, which one of those do you think I am? Now, he didn't say that, but I just kind of imagined. Well, which one do you think I am? Do you think I'm John the Baptist or Jeremiah? Which one of these how do you vote on this? But whom say you that I am? Now listen to the answer. Simon Peter answered, and I believe Peter was not only answering for himself, but for all those that was there. He said, Peter answered him and said, now notice the very wonderful language. Thou art the Christ. Now, the definite article is there for a purpose. It didn't say, Brother Keith, that I am a Christ. We believe you're a Christ. Well, there's a lot. They said a lot of people shall say, here's Christ and there's Christ. A lot of people say this is Christ. Thou art the Christ. What is he meaning by that? Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the anointed of God. The word Christ and the word Messiah means the same thing. One is Hebrew and one is Greek. One means Messiah. I mean, the Messiah means anointed, and Christ means anointed. So you see, Christ is not his name. His name is Jesus, or Emmanuel, God with us. His office. I want you to understand that Christ, the word Christ, he is the Christ. He is the Christ. That's what John the Baptist meant. So go back and ask him if he's the one that's to come. Or did we make a mistake? Well, you see, those people on the road to Emmaus, they kind of thought he was the Christ up until the time that he was crucified and put in the ground. We thought this was him. We thought Jesus was the Christ. He said, are you just strangers here in this area? You don't understand this? He said, what are you talking about? We suppose that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. But now it's the third day. And Jesus says, oh, you slow of heart, you fools and slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ, not Jesus, but ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And he began at the same scripture and preached unto them Moses and the prophets and Psalms, all the things concerning himself that were written over here in these other 39 books. But notice what the answer is. Thou art the Christ. Now, he cannot be the Christ if the next part is not true. What is the next part? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is not, he didn't, now what would it make any difference? Thou art a Christ, the Son of a God. When you think about this this was a divine statement revealed to these people by God himself. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. It's impossible for me to go out here in this world and begin to preach this gospel and try to get people who are not children of God and do not born of God and do not believe in God. If I can get you to believe in the Jehovah God of the Old Testament, then I can preach to you. We've got to have a starting place. We must start. I can start at the creation. And I'll come all the way forward and I'll show you that Jesus. Now, there are people in this world, brothers and sisters, that think Jesus was a created being. He was just another. And there's some say, well, he was a good man. He's a good man. Now, he set some good examples for us to follow. But brothers and sisters, if he was not exactly who he said he was a deceiver. And he was a blasphemer. Well, it's 5 minutes still, and my throat says it's time to quit. But the importance of all of this is that he was the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man, and he was the Son of God. Now then, back to our text in Romans 1, and we're going to bring this around to a closing, and you may get another dose of this the next time around. I don't know. But notice, here are all the things that Jesus did. There was witnesses after witnesses after witnesses. John the Baptist said, when he sees Jesus coming, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus says, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. The scriptures tell you, the scriptures will identify to you who is the Messiah. Now, all of these things are wonderful. Jesus did. He said, if you don't believe who I am, just believe me for the works that I do. Just believe me for the works I do. I mean, who have you ever known anybody raise the dead? You see, this is what he told John. Go show him again. Go show him again these things. Well, have you ever known a man that was born blind? And Jesus healed him. And this is the things that they said about it. Well, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus says, neither, but that the power of God, the glory of God might be made known. So here he did all these works, but they crucified him. Now, here's the crux of our entire gospel. If he stays in the grave, he was right. They were right. They were right. He was just a man. But notice the declaration. He was declared to be the Son of God. Who declared him? Who declared him to be the Son of God? It was, the Apostle Paul declared him, Jesus declared himself, but he could have been lying, you know. If we could have a God that lies, then we don't have a God. But it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So when we look at this, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now then, my time's up, but we could go over to 1 Corinthians 15, and we could read there. He says, how come some among you says there's no resurrection of the dead? Do you know that he's speaking there to a church? There's some church people here that don't believe in the resurrection. He said, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, then you're still in your sins. And our preaching's vain, our faith's vain. But you see, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So if I can go over here to Jerusalem someplace, or some are over here, and where they say that Jesus walked along here, and they actually know exactly where his tomb was. If I could go in there and find his bones, then our preaching's vain, because Jesus didn't raise. You see, he was declared. The resurrection didn't save us. I want you to get that down. The resurrection didn't. Well, what saved us? The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us by his blood out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And he was the Lamb of God, just like John the Baptist said. He was the Lamb that was slain. And it said he stood as a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus knew what he was going to do when he came to the world. He was sent by his Father. But everything is null and void if he stays in the grave. He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. If he's still in the grave, then he was an imposter. So how important is it, brethren and sisters, that we understand that the essence of the gospel is the women went there and they said, "Why do you?" The angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Now, another point, and we're closing. Jesus, when he came back in his resurrected body and lived among his apostles for 40 days, appearing, he could just go in, here's the doors all locked, and Jesus would come right in. He didn't have to open the door. But they said, well, they thought he was just a spirit. See, and Brother Keith, it's important that we see he knocked that in the head. He disannulled that theory that here is a spirit. They said, well, he's just a spirit. Well, he said, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? He said, come touch me. Oh, do you have anything to eat? And he ate with them. And he walked along with them. He taught them. And when he went away, he went up into heaven. Just ascended. And the angel said unto them, why you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? Do you not know that this same Jesus that you see go into heaven shall come back in like manner? I want you to understand that when Jesus went up, he went up in his human body. It was a changed body. Yes, it didn't have blood. But it was a body. It was a physical body. And there is a man today, brothers and sisters, sitting at the right hand of God. It said when he had purged his sin, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And what's he doing there? He's making intercession for us. He said there is one mediator between God and men. Where's he mediating from? He's mediating from his throne. Where's it? What throne is it? It's the throne of David. He's sitting on. It's David's throne is not in Jerusalem, as they think it is. David's throne is in eternal glory at the right hand of God the Father. And he's sitting on that throne now. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not waiting to be king. There's people say that, he intended to set up his kingdom here on earth, but the Jews rejected him, and so he went away and he just set up the church as an interim. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, he didn't just set the church up as an interim. He set the church up for a place where the children of God can be fed by the mother. Jesus, it says, the mother is the church. The mother don't bear children, but they feed children. He set the church up, brothers and sisters. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When he comes back, he's coming in the same body that he went up in. And every single one of God, and because of that, because he is, he became us. We are going, he became us. We're going to become him. He said, when he comes back, he said, he shall fashion you like unto his glorious body. We're going to be made like him. Not only from a spiritual standpoint, from body, soul, and spirit. He's coming back to get us again, brothers and sisters. And the only reason that he's going to come back is because he finished the work he came to do. He came to save his people. The question you must ask yourself, did he do the job? Did he get her done? Or did he fail? Did he come and just make a way possible for you to, so you could follow in his steps? That's being taught. He just came to set a good example. So if you'll follow Jesus' example, you can become a God like him. I can take you to a church that teaches that. So-called church. If this is not true. You see, all scripture. Not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament. 66 books of inspired words. And it behooves us, brothers and sisters, that we search these scriptures. Because there's going to time come when they're going to kill you and hate you because of what you believe. If you'll just deny this, if you'll just say, I recant, I don't believe anymore that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, you can live. That's already happened. What are we going to do? Brethren, the world's getting worse and worse. And the only thing that's going to get you through that is the belief of this message I've been trying to bring to you this morning. If you believe this, they can kill your body, but that's it. They kill your body, they just send you to heaven. Don't fear him. Don't fear these people in the world. And the politicians in Washington, D.C., they're not going to save us. God is the one that's going to save us. As a nation, we need to repent. We need to repent. You go back and you read some of these things and these other, and especially one author in Russia. I just read this last week. The question was asked, what happened to our mother country? What happened to us? And the man simply said, we have forgotten God. Any nation that forgets God, he said, I'll turn them into hell. So how important is it that we stick to the word and preach this every time? We need to be telling everybody we come to. We ought to be so excited to tell this message that we would tell it just to anybody that would listen. My brother Jimmy Bass, he has preached to the fence post and the mules and all those people. He'd preach to anything. I'm telling you the truth. When he's plowing, he's preaching. And that old mule, somebody said this to him, brother. And they said, Dad, when he said preach the gospel to every preacher, I don't know if he meant mules. But that's kind of a funny thing. But Brother Jimmy loved the word of God. He was my favorite preacher. He owned me, and he only had an 8th grade education. Most precious man that I could name to you when he preached the gospel. In my mind, he glowed with the glory of God. I hung on every word. And he didn't preach anything different than what I've tried to preach to you this morning. May the Lord bless you this morning. Is our prayer.